This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey.
Chapter 29. Catriona understood the effect those words had on Tom. She covered his hands with hers and noticed the stone.
"What's that?" she asked.
"It's my mother." He paused and choked back the words, "Mother."
"It's hers."
He nodded to the journal as Catriona brought the heart close to the lamp.
"It's so beautiful,"
she whispered and passed it back to the boy. They were about to return to the journal when the sound of a small animal, similar to the one Tom heard earlier, echoed through the chamber. The scurrying came from a point to their left by the shelves. Catriona and Tom both jumped as a blur of fur zipped along the top of a line of books. This time the rat, because that's what it was visible and huge. Catriona shivered.
"We should get out of here. We can read the journal in the cottage. This place gives me the jeebies."
Staring after the rat, she seemed to see the books for the first time. Despite her call to leave, she stooped to the floor and retrieved a leather-bound volume. "They're all blank," said Tom. But Catriona had already opened it up.
"No, they're not," she replied.
Who would keep a stack of blank books? Curious, Tom looked at the page she'd tilted towards him. Sure enough, Catriona seemed to have stumbled on the only volume that wasn't actually blank.
"What is it?"
he asked.
"Maths, I think. Or maybe physics. Lots of formulas anyway."
She passed the book to Tom and rummaged at her feet for another. Tom glanced at the pages in his hand and marvelled at the tiny writing cramming every inch of clear space in a complex pattern of gobbledygook. But it wasn't gobbledygook. Not to him.
"This is a calculation for skin conduction, transdermal information flow."
Catriona looked up from her acquisition and raised an eyebrow.
"Of course it is."
Despite themselves, they both smiled. But Tom's eye was drawn to the second book in her hand. It too was full of writing. He picked another from the floor and another from the shelves. Time after time, he got the same result. Full. Not a blank page among them. Science, mathematics, politics, history, anatomy, nanotech, business. And time after time, the information contained was common sense once Tom had read a piece to himself, no matter how obscure or how complex the subject.
These were all empty. All of them.
Catriona looked at Tom suspiciously.
"You mean like magic ink?" she quipped.
"No, I'm serious. This means something."
"It means something, all right, but not to me."
She looked at the thousands of spines lining the shelves and added,
"How come they're all in such good condition? This is ancient. They should be rotten or eaten by Basil and his friends."
"Basil?" Tom asked.
"The rat."
"Oh, I see." But of course, he didn't see at all. But those words, "I see," planted a notion in the boy's mind that would have seemed wild to a normal person, but made immediate and weird sense to him.
"Put out the lamp," he said.
Catriona was unimpressed by Tom's assumption that she would obey his order, and she said without thinking,
"Put out yourself."
And he did, much to Catriona's alarm. He walked to the table, reached out as Catriona fumbled her warning not to, and closed the knurled valve until the hiss turned to a spluttering, popping halt, and the cave plunged into darkness.
"Ah!"
Katriana screamed.
Quiet! There's no one here. It's all right. You're a lunatic, Tom. Put it back on.
But Tom's answer was unexpected.
Whoa,
he said, and then said it again.
Whoa!
When the light died, Tom saw nothing but a black void, unlike any darkness experienced on the surface above. It was as if someone had painted his eyeballs black. But second by second, that strange, all-embracing light lifted the surroundings from obscurity and brought the cavern into sharp focus. He saw the table, the journal opened to the page he'd left it at, the words, George, Silas, poisoning the purity of its writer's intentions. He glanced at the book in his hands and noted that it too was full of detailed ink. Katriana stood between the pile on the floor and the wall of books. She was slightly indistinct, her edges blurred as though a living painting whose artist had not quite decided where to put her. She cursed Tom for his stupidity, and Tom was surprised to note that the sound came from a point to the left of her body. As soon as she spoke, however, the body jerked sideways to match the location of her voice. Now, though, her shape was more indistinct, its substance fading like a departing ghost. The girl stumbled over the books, her image performing an approximation of the action before blurring to a wispy representation of her form sprawled in the general area before him.
"Help me, Tom!"
she cried, and the shape firmed a little to its right. Tom reached down.
"Give me your hand," he said.
This time, she did not seem to mind the order. A smoky and blurred arm swiped the air and Tom felt the girl's warm fingers brush his. They met and grasped and Tom pulled an angry and grateful girl to her feet.
"What are you playing at?"
she spat.
"I can see,"
Tom said. Katriana's face sharpened in front of his as her breath brushed his lips. He pocketed the heart, held her hand and circled her waist to comfort her. Well, maybe see isn't the right word. Maybe the word should be remember.
Chapter 30.
Please, Katriana, trust me.
Tom felt the girl shaking. He wasn't quite sure how much of this was from anger and how much was from the shock of being plunged into darkness. He led her to the table, her feet stuttering on quaking limbs through the unseen cave.
"I'm going to let you go. I have to light the lamp. Here," he said. "Put your hands on the tabletop."
She did, and Tom turned the valve and heard the satisfying hiss. Katriana spoke, her voice still shaking, a fraction calmer.
"The red button. Press it."
Tom did so, and a spark inside the chamber fired the gas to a bright glow that blinded him. As he rubbed his eyes clear of the molten blobs that came and went with each blink, Katriana flew at him.
"You moron!"
She clenched her fist and curved a punch in his right shoulder so that he almost dropped the lamp. Her temper threw another blow, this time an open-handed slap to his left cheek.
"Ow!
What do you think, macho boy? Scared the girly, is it?"
Tom considered switching off the lamp again to get her under control, but decided against it as blow after blow caused him to back away.
"It wasn't that, Katriana. I'm serious. I can sort of see in the dark."
The words finally found their mark, and Katriana stopped her advance on him.
"That's impossible," she said.
"I know." He moved sideways, keeping beyond her reach, and replaced the lamp on the table.
"I saw it when I came into the cave. That's why you found me in the dark. To me, it wasn't. Dark, I mean."
Tom warmed to the notion as one deduction followed another.
"But I don't think I see in the dark at all,"
he mused.
"Tom, you make less sense every minute I talk to you."
Tom then had an idea.
"Hang on, I want to try something. Touch the lamp and I'll kill you."
Tom ignored her and scanned the cave, noting again where everything was. For the moment, his sense of loss and confusion, the hatred he felt for Silas, the contradiction of timescales and his irrational emotions faded with the excitement of this extraordinary discovery. He focused on the location of the table, the heap of books on the floor, the strange library, the far archways leading to the pool and to the prison room. He visualized the dimensions, the positioning of the walls, scanned the floor ahead for anything he might trip over. He then closed his eyes. Catriona, her dislike of the place urging her to flee, was irritated and puzzled.
"If you don't stop playing games, I'm leaving you here."
But Tom ignored her. He was trying to picture the space as it was before he closed his eyes. He walked forward, resisting the need to raise his arms in a parody of Blind Man's Buff. At first, he was quite confident, taking 6 long strides across the empty floor. But soon his steps slowed and shortened. He thought himself close to the far wall, but what if he'd strayed to the right? His feet dragged, toes prodding the air and tapping the floor like a white stick. He suddenly wished he'd paid more attention to what was beyond the straight line from the table to the opening he blundered towards. He stopped, listening to the water tinkling around the chair legs dead ahead. He was still in target.
"This proves nothing. Anyone can do that."
The words seemed to slap him in the back and he stumbled forward. She was right. Close your eyes and you can walk around chairs, sofas and even well-behaved dogs for a few seconds. This thought careered through his head as he fumbled through the room, his arms now twirling to keep his balance, his eyes threatening to spring open at any moment. And then he saw everything. Just like that. Lids still firmly shut, that all-embracing strange light reappeared and Tom saw the entrance to the chair chamber 2 steps ahead. He caught his balance and walked in calmly. He shouldn't be able to see, but he could. Behind him, Catriona had started another round of berating him when she suddenly stopped and said,
"You've got your eyes open."
"Shh," said Tom. His pace picked up again and he walked through the archway. He heard Catriona run lightly towards him, the strengthening hiss of the lamp. She passed close to his side as he squatted by the pool and scooped a handful of water to his lips. He sensed the girl standing beside him as he turned, felt the heat of her, and then saw her. She was indistinct, wispy smoke approximating her shape, her position, her movements. Her face, however, was eerily beautiful, her long black hair wafting gently with each shift in her position. She was staring at him now, and Tom felt her studying his closed eyes as he moved. Forgetting for an instant the terrible setting, the torture chamber of his childhood, the boy felt invincible. He could see in the dark. A rush of adrenaline lifted his spirits and he had a sudden and uncontrollable urge to show off. He reached out and with uncanny accuracy took the lamp from Catriona, placed her on the floor, grasped her smoky hands in his and eyes still closed, hummed his best orchestral waltz. He whisked her around the chamber in a dance of surreal and short-lived joy.
"You really can see," she said.
Her head was pulled back, watching him, noting his closed eyes, turning this way and that to navigate the obstacles, steer clear of the walls, the table, the books. Catriona stopped, and Tom's temporary madness subsided, the rush of his newfound skill now merely another link in the tangled chain of his life. He opened his eyes and blinked at the strange sensation of seeing the cavern much as he did with his eyes closed. The quality of the light was different, the lamp dominating everything, pushing much of the cave into darkness beyond its immediate sphere, shadows springing into existence where there were none seconds before.
"It's in my head," Tom said. "A memory, like a map,"
asked Catriona.
"No, it's so detailed, and it moves when I move, when I look around."
Tom was excited by his new understanding. He rushed over to the books and plucked one from a middle shelf. Opening it at a random place, he saw the small writing, the mathematical squiggles.
"And this?"
he said, showing her the text as though it was a new language he'd just discovered.
The pages were blank because I'd never looked between the covers before. I had no memory of what was written. "But what about me? You saw me, didn't you? Surely I can't be part of this map." "Sort of. I pictured where I thought you were, but it was sometimes wrong. Your voice would be in the wrong place."
Tom's excitement faded. He looked around and put the chamber back into context. No discovery, no matter how exciting, how close it brought him to learning who he was, would shake the horror of this place from his soul. His mood crashed, and even though he knew that the woman he thought of as his mother wasn't, the sense of loss for his family was profound. The impotence of knowing he was helpless to stop what had already happened, and the certainty that he was alone, crushed him like a physical blow.
"Who am I?"
Tom whispered. But Catriona shook her head and answered with a question of her own.
"No, Tom, not who, but what are you?"
DreamWorks.com.